Coming up on today's pod, Warrington makes hard work of their win against Wakefield after a sloppy second-half performance. Daniel sticks his neck out to offer his opinion on wire player retention. It's time to take a look at the Great Britain and Irish Lions squad. Tacklebags has been summoned to a tribunal. We look forward to Leeds as the sprint for the finish line continues. The sweetheart of the show's back with a new lodger. And there's the flakiest, blakiest milk chocolate in the world. It's all coming up on What Would Brian Bevan Say?
So what's brought the moustache on then, Mr. London?
The razor just stopped. It was conking out as I was doing it, so I thought I'd leave it on. I was going to do Hitler. But
no one's going to see you, are they? I mean, what would you describe that look? I mean, it's a bit of a weird
moustache.
Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
Just hold your head up a sec.
Hello, I'm Father Rob London, and following the Wakefield game, perhaps it's only fair to describe this week's podcast as our very own Trinity. But if I'm God, where are my two other podcasters to make up the triad? That's Latin for Trinity, by the way. Well, he's the son of Warrington, and Jesus, at times, his statistics need more than a miracle. But he's miraculously divided 5 balm cakes and 2 haddock from Grappinol's The Big Blue Fish and Chip Shop into a meal to feed the capacity of an entire Fletcher Street end. It's our very own Emmanuel Sam Sankey.
Hallelujah. It's a winning week. I resisted the temptation to get out my guitar and give you a rendition of the Leonard Cohen classic, but I'm down with the kids, I am.
Do you go to the Big Blue, Sam, or is it a bit, I hear it's a bit expensive these days?
But it depends what we want, Big Blue, or occasionally go into Lim, or occasionally I just say to Mrs. Sankey, get off your arse and cook something.
Fair enough. Well, talking of Blue and making up the trifactor, or perhaps that's a gambling connotation that will only lead to him turning over the card tables at Statham Lodge in about 1978, a holy spirit that has been known to down more than one spirit or two, but he'd probably best if he sticks on the Timothy Taylor. Yes, I can sense the presence of God, or possibly it's just the resilience in spades. It's divine Dennis Waywell.
Good morning. Yes.
You all right there, Dennis?
Lovely to be here. Yes, yes. Yeah, quite happy with everything at the moment. I think I've been watching the social media this week and all that chocolate bar thing, and I came up with my own version, the Waywell Weetabix wagon wheel. So I've done a bit of a design. As you can see there, it's a ring of Weetabix with a soft, milky cream centre covered in chocolate. It can be released by Weetabix. I'll write a letter to them and see if I can get that patented.
Did you get your free Blake last night, Sam?
No, I was too late into the ground. the guys who sit around me out the box, out the box behind, they all had flakes, plenty, but I couldn't rob one.
Yeah. You see, the higher you sat up in the stand, the more flakes you get, innit? Hey?
It's a class thing, isn't it?
Yeah. We were going to auction that bloody wrapper off. We were going to get that signed and auction it off, weren't we?
Stuart Pearce was stuffing his face with flakes. He sits a couple of rows behind me. He was stuffing his face before he took on the wire flyer.
Mm-hmm. I always used to like a Texan bar. I remember getting a Texan bar in I think it was infant school, and I finished it around about the year I left junior school.
I removed 3 teeth with a Texan bar.
They were great then, weren't they?
Do you call them Marathon over there now or Snickers? Snickers now, is it?
Snickers, still Snickers, yeah.
All Snickers. I entered a marathon once, but my cock got covered in peanuts and chocolate.
Oh, God.
Christ. Well, I wonder if we can combine a new advertising campaign together.
Cadbury's chocolate, the blakiest, flakiest chocolate in the world. But never mind the Blake flake, it's playoff time. Get off that dicky ankle and pull that chocolate finger out of your ass.
It was pretty good, that, wasn't it? You like that one, Dennis?
I don't know where that sits on the chart, actually.
Fair enough. Okay, let's move on to the review. The Wakefield game. The Warrington team was Ratchford, Lynham, Goodwin, King, Charnley, Austin, Patton, Hill, Clark, Cooper, Curry, Ben Murdoch, Masilla, and Jason Clark. Interchange bench was Akawala, Philbin, Mamo, and wait for it, Matty Smith. Final score was Wire 23, Wakefield 16. Sam, before we come to you, let's hear what Steve Price has to say.
It was a fantastic first half. Everything we set out to do pre-game was instrumental, and had a lot of second phase controlled offloads, and we're moving the point of attack. Back row saw some birds, and Benny Curry saw some good clean ball, and I thought we could have maybe went a little bit further ahead in that first half. But yeah, I was really pleased with how we carried out our plan, the execution, and then the second half we just sort of took the foot off. They were there to be they were on the ground ready to be choked, and we sort of took it off a little bit in the second half. But the most pleasing thing was getting the W. That's all we can at tonight, and we'll get a lot of belief and confidence. We got we got that 2 weeks ago out of the Challenge Cup, and to get back in the Super League and get the 2 points, that's all that mattered tonight. We created a lot of ruck speed tonight, and we got them off the bit, and we're going at them over the advantage line with a lot of numbers and push around the ball, and 16-0 up, I thought it could have been 24-26, and always in control. But all Wakefield teams, they always turn it on the second half, don't they? And they know how to play second half rugby, and credit to them. It worked well with Jakey, going to centre, and Toby in the Challenge Cup with Murds, and just with Matty Smith can play in the halves, and Blake's first game back, and also too he can back up as a nine. So I just thought that was the best way to go. We've got three middles that can play big minutes. I thought there was some really big efforts tonight, and we're in good shape as a club. We're fighting for that top two spot there. It's still there. Just got to go down to Leeds, and it's going to be a tough game down there, and then we'll see where we end up. A fantastic turnout tonight, for Benny's farewell, and what a true legend of the club. He he's the ultimate warrior. He's always wears his heart on his sleeve, and every time he's donned our jersey, he's always worn it with a huge amount of pride. And he's just one of those players that every player just loves playing with, and he's represented the Warrington Bulls over those 7 years, 17 years, with absolute honour and pride, and he deserves a big rap.
So you kind of agree with that, Sam, do you? I mean, the first half, we saw tries from Charnley, Darrell Clark and Curry, and we went in at 16-0. It all looked pretty rosy, didn't it?
Yes, I will agree with Steve Price. It was a very good first half. We were still a bit clunky in attack. You could see at times it was a team that had lost six in a row against a team that had lost five in a row, but we looked up for it from the start. And also in the first half, it was noticeable as often as possible, we were switching the ball to our left centre position, and Goodwin, occasionally Curry, were running straight at Danny Brough. And on the back of that, Tom Lynham was making lots of yards. Really, really good, really positive, really nice feel around the stadium at half-time.
Oh, who are you feeling?
Stuart Pearce, before he went and did the... I was frisking him for chocolate bars.
Jesus, there we go. Dennis, we were having to listen to it on Wire FM, although we did have a good commentator this week from the lad from 4020. And also our friend Richard Shawright was butting in with a few comments as well. Yeah. It all looked pretty easy, didn't it? 16-0 just seemed to be we were cruising along.
Yeah, it sounded like it was. I think the first 5-10 minutes, I think Wakefield were pushing quite hard, and that was a bit of a surprise. But then I think we settled down and got into a bit of a rhythm, started making some meters. I did notice all the tries, including the one in the second half. Darrell Clark touched the ball on every one of the tries. He was involved with every try. So he still maintains, for me, the leading player in terms of anything that we've got to offer in attack.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable comment. But also one thing of note, three games in a row. So that's a Challenge Cup final, that's Salford, and then again last night against Wakefield. We have kept the opposition tryless in the first half.
It's actually on the back of winning the second half, wasn't it?
Yeah. We told them we don't just want to win the second half, we need to win the first half, and they've taken that on board.
Did we look a better side with Austin back in the team, Sam, straight away? Did you sort of notice his presence in that first half?
Yeah, we did. He was relatively quiet last night, but straight away we had 2 points of attack. Not everything was going through Deck Pattern, and that seemed to... he was still only average Deck. Well, yeah, he was still only average, but you could see that by the fact that the ball could go either way, there was more space, took a bit of pressure off the young lad, and we looked a much better balance to the team.
How average was the play the ball that he had?
Maybe we'll come on to that later.
Yeah, we'll come on to that towards the end. A bit of a different story, though, Sam, start of the second half, because within 8 minutes of the second half starting, they'd scored two quick tries and converted them by Brough. And it's 16-12, game on.
Oh, God. We just before they came out for the second half, Bish and I just said, just need a good 10 minutes... Good start to this second half. Put the game to bed. Don't give them a sniff. And straight away, we drop the ball. We give away penalties. We miss tackles. And suddenly, the game's difficult. Suddenly, we made a game that looked easy. We were under pressure. The ref then started to lose a bit of control as well, with lots of messy play the balls and offsides and both teams arguing with him.
It sounded like, Sam, that it was a reversal of the first half, because when you're listening to it on the radio, Wakefield made some terrible errors at certain times where I think they had us, towards our line and things. So it sounded like it was a bit of the same sort of thing from us in the second half.
Only for 10 or 15 minutes. After that 10 or 15 minute spell, I felt we were the better team again, but they were within one score rather than being 16 points adrift. So it was always a bit of nervousness came into the stadium.
Could you put that down to the players that were on the pitch at the time and what the rotation was at that point?
No, I think what started it was a little bit of bad luck. We put a bomb in the air first or second possession. Their winger missed it completely. It bounced about 10 metres out and ended up rolling dead. And from that seven tackle set, they were on our line and scored. And suddenly they were up and buzzing, and we were like, what the hell just happened there?
Can I just say that 27 episodes in, that's the most technical question you've ever asked, Dennis. Did that take you by surprise a bit, Sam? That's a good one, now, wasn't it? Yeah. It's been saving that one. Very
this
good.
Coffee. I've got some very cracking good. Coffee on the go. Rob, you were listening to it on the radio. What did you think of the commentary? Because when we spoke to Richard Shaw, right, we asked him about, you know, not being biased if you were doing commentary and stuff. How do you think that they would have sort of rated in Richard's sort of opinion, you know, in terms of
I thought they were very good last night, because it was Mark Wilson last night, wasn't it, from 4020 who was doing it. It was just he's a step up than the rest of the guys they have on Wire FM. And Richard Shawright came in with some good comments as well. I'm not sure who the third chap is. He's a little bit of a dick, isn't he?
Yeah.
Dickhead. Yeah. Move on. Sam, the Blake Austin tackle, or lack of tackle, at times he doesn't half miss tackles, doesn't he? That try down the left side. Yeah. He did. It was sort of the one that he did in the tackle he tried against St. Helens. He just completely misses his man at times.
Yeah, there was a big gap between him and Toby King, and he was left grasping thin air, wasn't he? Slightly embarrassing, really.
Let's
put it down to him being slightly wrong-footed. Maybe he was going out to put a big hit on, he just got wrong-footed.
And the other one as well, that's twice now Lynham's been caught out trying to intercept a ball. He's coming rushing out of the line. It's, you know, it, probably the next one he will get, and he'll go the length, but he did seem to rush out when he didn't need to. Did he actually get a finger to that ball? It seemed to sort of flipped, or did the centre flip it onto his winger very quickly?
Centre did flip it on, but whether it touched Lynham or not, I don't know. But that was an example really, of panic might be the wrong word, but the we got into that where we'd been very disciplined in the first half. We started jumping out of the line, trying to solve things on our own individually rather than keeping a line. And it was almost a panic and a nervousness setting into the whole team.
Do you remember the interview with Tom Lynham? He was actually expressing how they go about, you know, defending and maybe the odd time that he may go for an interception. Yeah. Rob, do you think that could be a lack of discipline that he's doing it more often in the last few games?
Possibly. I mean, I think it may have something to do with where he's got Cynthia in the house now. Maybe he's moved her and he's not quite in line now with that interception. Could be something around about that.
Equilibrium is not quite right.
They didn't want us to mention it, did they? I mean, we've moved on about 20 episodes since, but we were told not to mention the fact that he comes rushing out the line and Steve Price doesn't like him to do it. So I'm sure there's been a few words in the dressing room in the last few weeks that's gone on. Yeah, one of those things. Okay, 52nd minute, Goodwin over in the corner. Beautiful sort of pass round the back from Curry, which sort of then, you know, again saw Ratchford get on the outside. He makes such a difference, Ratchford, back in the team, doesn't he? He's making that, creating that overlap, Sam, that we've just been missing for the past month or so.
Yeah, and again, going back to your early question about Austin, to have, I said to have the two halves, but the two halves and Ratchford out the back, we suddenly look like we can score points. We don't look world beaters. We didn't look world beaters last night, but we looked a huge step up from the previous 5 or 6 weeks where we looked very, very predictable.
I mean, a bit ironic, really, because we don't look flaky anymore, do we? They've just brought the flaky. We look more like a curly whirly.
Yeah, curly whirly.
I nearly choked. I think I was going to mention
kind of curly whirly. You can't show it's all holes.
What happens is it's a bit like the caramel. It congeals, and when you go to swallow, it's just got enough like thingy to get stuck in your clack.
Can you what?
Clack.
Your clack. Sorry.
My mum always used to say, like, call it a clack.
The North Warrington phrase that.
Oh god.
Stuck in your clack. Fair enough. Okay. Well, Wakefield were not to be done because on the 63rd minute, they're over again. Both the Goodwin try and the Wakefield try weren't converted. So we end up with a score of 20-16. And then Ratchford slots a penalty over Sam. Were you screaming for them to play the ball? They were on Wire FM. They thought we had sort of Wakefield on the rack and we should have run the ball.
I think we did have them on the rack, but the penalty was right slap bang in front of the post. So the percentage play was to take the penalty and go 6 points clear. But yeah, they did look like they were rocking, and a try there would have just sealed the game. Percentage football, I suppose.
Mathematically, if we'd drawn the game, I mean, it would have gone to extra point anyway, wouldn't it? I'd have run that ball. I don't know. I always think you should run balls at times like that. But as you said, in hindsight, it worked out to be correct. And then Deck Patton, we think he's won the game. He slots over a penalty, makes it 20, slots over a drop kick to make it 23-16. But then, come on, Sam, have you ever seen anything like this on a rugby league field, or actually off a rugby league field before? He goes to the play of the ball. He's got his foot in touch. And he picks the ball.
Oh,
what a fuckwit.
And doesn't this just sum up the talk really we've had about Deck all year? He actually had an okay game. He missed five tackles again, but he had an okay game. He just contributes with a drop goal to take us clear. And then he saunters over. It was a slow play, the ball.
Right.
He saunters over. We've just defused the bomb. He saunters over. He puts his foot astride the line, and he stands there for 3 or 4 seconds.
At this point, how much of the crowd are shouting at him?
Well, I was.
What were you shouting, Sam?
You were shouting.
Get your foot off the fucking line!
Oh dear!
I tell you what,
handing out bait to the children, and you're shouting. That's disgusting.
Mr. London Senior would probably have been disgusted because I was shouting it in his direction.
What are you shouting at him for?
And he just bends down He picks the ball up and immediately... No, not Rob Mr. London's
dad.
Patton just picks the ball up and immediately the touch judge just puts his flag in the air. And he turns round with that, what? What's that for? Type of scenario, because he's not going to fucking
point,
play.
Didn't
oh, Jesus. Oh, dear.
I hear Patton has already gone into the patent office on this one, Dennis. So I guess we'll wait to hear that one next week.
Some point next week.
Yeah. Give us your man of the match, Sam. Who would you give it to?
Okay, well, I want to mention two or three players here. I want to mention Ratchford, who I thought was excellent. Good win in the first half, and Curry scored a try and then some lovely hands to set that other try up. And then I want to talk about briefly Lynham and Charnley, our biggest meter makers, similar to what they did at Wembley, driving the ball out. So it was good performances all over. But I'm going to give it to Ratchford. He just looked that little.
The poster's back up.
The poster is back up. But it was across the team. A lot of people contributed yesterday.
So you weren't going to give it to Matty Smith, who came on for about 4 minutes at the end when they could have
four tackles, one missed tackle.
How bizarre was it that in Ben Westwood's last opportunity to play at home, well, maybe not his last opportunity to play at home because we may get a game in the playoffs there, but surely if you're only going to give Matty Smith a few minutes, that should have been Ben Westwood.
It was a strange bench with Mamo and Smith on there. I could only assume that Matty Smith was on the bench just in case Blake Austin's ankle went in that first half, and he had a reoccurrence. That's the only thing I can assume. But even so, Mamo could have gone to fullback and Ratchford gone up to standoff. So he was almost covering it twice.
There seems to be this. We've got the tactic now that Mamo comes in at the centres. I couldn't quite work out in the Challenge Cup final where Mamo would come on to play. So he came on in the Challenge Cup final at centre, did he? Did King go off? What are they doing?
Well, I can't remember it at Wembley, but last night King went into the second row. Murdoch-Masilla came off and King went into the second row.
So is that Mamo, what they did at Wembley? Because Mamo appeared on the field and I was sort of doing a head count and thinking, who's gone off? What have they done there? He just seemed to... He wasn't on the wing. So
I can't remember. I was just a nervous wreck at that point, I think.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go on to the predictions. No one got it right. Sam was the closest, 22-16. Unfortunately, looking down through the rules, two rounds prior to the playoffs, you have to absolutely bang on to get a point. So no point for Sam there. I'm still 28 points in front. Dennis, as from next year, you'll be predicting the Crossfields under-11s.
Excellent.
Based on your predictions so far. Good. Okay, now it seems we are all rimmed out as there's no sign of Ralph today, but making her way back on the podcast. And interestingly, during her absence, Warrington have not won one Super League game. Dennis put a long overdue call into the sweetheart of the podcast, and has she also found herself a new lodger?
Good evening, Madam Boyd speaking.
Hey, Madam Boyd. It's Dennis Waywell.
Ah, Dennis. It's so nice to hear from you again.
Did you not know it was me calling?
I'm just slightly distracted at the moment, Dennis. I have a house full.
Oh, who've you got there now?
Well, Ralph has returned with a friend named Robert. I must say, Dennis, he's very accommodating.
You have to watch out for him, Madam Boyd. He's full of promises, but doesn't actually deliver.
On the contrary, dear. Robert, explain to Dennis how you're looking forward to working and managing my chip shop.
I kind of got to a point in my life when I thought I got one more big job left in me.
Indeed, Robert. And was it a difficult decision?
It was a no-brainer. I just wanted to come and work and try and make my last big one, really.
Steady on, Robert. We don't want to get Ralph all jealous again.
All sounds like fun, Madam Boyd. Anyway, any chance of a prediction this week?
Indeed, Dennis. Ralph? Ralph there? Get my new balls that Robert so kindly bought.
Oh, you've got a new set of crystal balls, Madam Boyd. Are you expecting them to be as successful as your last set of balls?
Well, Robert assures me these are the best balls that money can buy.
Oh, here we go, Madam Boyd. I've managed to shine them with some boot polish.
Oh, Ralph, you're such a fuckwit. Right, let me see what I can do with these blackened balls. Yes, I see a pattern forming. East coast, north or south of the river. I see Declan for hire, but no longer with wire.
Right, well, it's that time of the season, I suppose. Speculation on where everyone's going to end up. Okay, thanks, Madam Boyd. I'll perhaps give you a call next week if you're not too busy with your two new chaps.
Yes, Dennis. Ralph?
Yes, Madam Boyd?
Get back down in the basement, dear.
Okay.
Come on, Robert. Let's get your balls into a transcendental state, Robert. Do you think you're up for that?
A psyche of how you...
That's right.
Empty yourself, how you get to the point where you can't do any more, but then you go again. I love that.
Let's not be too premature, Robert Dahl.
If you wish to leave a record of your call, please state your message at the sound of the tone.
Well, it looks like she may have had to gain a star there in the B&B, if she's now got the likes of Robert down there with her. Is he getting any sort of perks there, Dennis? Towel on the bed, maybe? Mint under the pillow?
Oh, I think he's getting everything from Madam Boyd. Yeah, he's certainly the man for the job, isn't he, for a chip shop? That or Super League? Well, which one would you choose? I think it's interesting to hear that she does now think that Deck Patton is on his way. What do you think about that?
Mm. I think maybe she follows Blake Austin on Instagram, maybe.
Surely after last night, Sam, that's it, isn't it? The writing is on the wall, or the line's on the line for Patton. That's got
the
to
foot's
be
on the line.
Foot's on the line. Yes, that's good.
Fucking
I've thought of our catchphrase anyway.
Oh yes, yeah.
What's I was laughing at it. I think we should have stuck in your clack when you obviously don't know. You're not sure whether you should say it or not, or we've said something too far and then it's come out or something like that.
Mm. Okay.
Stuck in the glottis doesn't quite go as well, does it?
Is Madam Boyd? Where is her economy coming from, Dennis? Is it mainly the chip shop, or is it the rental room above the chip shop? Where's sort of her main income from?
It's the consultations. It's not just the chip. The chip shop's a front. It's not money making at all. There's no money in the chips. When the chips are down,
does she provide the pies and any catering up to Wigan? Is that what she's charging all the money at?
I mean, when you look at the second line of their accounts at 1.4 million staff and pie costs, it does make you wonder how many pies that translates, doesn't it?
Mm. Very good. I'd like to see her on four and a bed. I think it'd be good if she could swap B&Bs with someone. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Or maybe we could get Gordon Ramsay to take over the chip shop for a week. Take her on. Write that down, Dennis. Write that down. Right. This week, the Great Britain and Irish Lions elite training squad was announced, which I think basically means they all meet up for a coffee. I don't think they actually run around on the field with a football. We'll run through the team quickly. We've got two from Castleford, Jake Truman and Liam Watts. We've got the Cock from Catalan Dragons. We've got Jermaine McGilvery from Huddersfield Giants. Jake Connor, Jamie Shull, Scott Taylor, all from Hull. Ash Hanley, Stevie Ward from Leeds Rhinos, Johnny Lomax, Tommy Makinson, Mark Percival, James Roby, Luke Thompson, Alex Wormsley, Morgan Knowles, and Dropsy Coote from St. Helens. We've got Josh Jones from Salford Reds, Reese Lynn from Wakefield, and then from Warrington, we've got Austin, Charnley, Daryl Clark, Chris Hill, Jack Hughes, Joe Philbin, and Stephen Ratchford. Oliver Gildart, Sean O'Loughlin, and George Williams make it up from Wigan Warriors. The five that are in from Warrington, Sam, is it five? One, two, three, four, five, six, eight from Warrington. Two, three, four, five, six, eight. Yes, seven from Warrington. Seven. About right? They're the ones you'd go for? No one else?
No, I'd largely agree with that. When you think this, if we drop the word elite for a moment, but if you say that's a training squad, they're the players he's looking at, if you're looking just at Super League, because don't forget there's no NRL players there. If you're looking just at Super League, it's a fairly balanced group. I feel Sam Tompkins is probably there on reputation. I've not seen much from him this year to convince me. And Sean O'Loughlin's probably there on reputation because he's been injured a lot. But if you take those St. Helens players, the Warrington players, two of the Wiganers, and Josh Jones, you could probably make a decent team out of them for Super League.
Does Wayne Bennett not like Mike Cooper? He seems to have picked everyone other than Mike Cooper now.
Cooper is really struggling with his back. He has to
I feel half the podcast is going to slip away now into Rob's ailment.
But he's still managing to get himself on the pitch for 3 games out of 4 rather than just lying on his bed semi-naked doing a podcast.
Do you? Not very nice, is it? Oh, dearie me. I see Curry's gone, or has he been rested? Can he make the cup of coffee? What's gone on there?
I think, again, that's probably a fair call. I actually think that the last 5 or 6 weeks, we've started to see Curry back at his best. We've not seen him put through a hole and see whether he can go in from 50 metres out yet. But
Through a clack.
But I think, fair comment, he's been out for so long and he's only just coming back to form, and we're awash with second rows, aren't we? When you think we've still got Whitehead, Bateman to come in, unless he plays Bateman at centre, of course.
I called this the other week about Curry. It felt a bit awkward saying, like, you know, he shouldn't be in the Great Britain squad and everything. But if you think about it now, he's not in there. And now he's got something to actually sort of just focus on and get fit for and get back into that sort of form we saw early on. This is what I'm talking about, like, you know, managing a team and not just giving them bloody daft contracts here and there. I mean, when we get loose wire on in a bit, he's really going to go off on one. But I mean, the thing about it is that now I think he can just sort of make sure that he can finish the season off, just focus on that, not anything else, and get back to his best. And then next year, he's going to be a better player for it.
Yeah, a few of them, sorry to cut across you there, Dennis. Curry and, in particular, Cooper might be all the better for 6 to 8 weeks completely off and rested.
I know how they feel.
Yeah. Can we talk about that Jake Connor in there? He got sent off, didn't he, Simbin, the other night? And although he showed elements of, like, you know, being quite sort of creative and this, that, and the other, I think he's obviously unhappy where he is or whatever. Again, he's the sort of player that you think, right, just drop him because, you know, he's not in a right frame of mind. Why is he in the squad? And then, you know, see where he gets to next year.
Yeah, he's a stroppy bugger, and he's either on it and playing some world-class stuff, or he's all over the place. He's very up and down, isn't he? When he's good, he's very, very good.
And when he's bad?
He's crap, yeah. I think, as well, there's a couple of things, really, a couple of positions. Who's going to play fullback, and who's going to play in the halves? Because if we were to say that, or assume that Gareth Widdop is back to full fitness, you would assume he will play in the halves and he'll be his first choice. But then you've got Williams, Austin and Lomax to pair with him. It's very hard. But
this side is sort of, you know, gearing up towards the World Cup. Then by that stage, you've got George Williams playing in the NRL. You're going to be looking at Williams and Widdop, aren't you? That's what's going to do. You know, Williams' game's going to have to improve if he's coming to the NRL. But we continue to get flops in the NRL from the British game. And another one has started to flop. And when we talk about Sam Tompkins being a complete flop when he was over in New Zealand, did anyone see Callum Watkins trying to tackle last weekend?
It's noticeable his absence from this Great Britain and Irish Lions elite training squad, isn't it?
He's finished. He is finished as a back row forward, as a back. I don't know if he can move into the second row or something, but his pace is just gone. He's just absolutely shattered on those knees.
He was never a good player before he went over there, though. That's what I can't understand. I mean,
I'm not sure.
In charge of Titans.
Oh, well, they are bottom. They're desperate, aren't they? They're desperate, and that's why they got him. They picked him up obviously cheaply, and he's turned out to be a complete flop. But as always, the Aussie press have, I said they'd do this. They've turned on him. They've said he's another flop from the British game. They love the forwards. They hate the backs.
Yeah, the comment from me that I thought was the most cutting was the one that said he's worse than Sargentson.
Yeah.
God.
Oh, I think the last decent back to play in the NRL that they rated is Andy Currier. I think that's how far you've really? Got to go back. Yeah, or was it White? Was it Wright White, the other centre at Widnes at the time, or a year over here? The sort of roundabout.
We
that
were
stage,
talking about Sibbett the other day. Didn't he go to Melbourne?
He did.
He had a few games at Melbourne, did all right. It'll be intriguing to see how George Williams goes, because he's not going to be able to run across field as much as he does in the Super League, because he'll get smashed if he does that every week. So see how he goes. Okay, carrying on the theme of selection, should he stay or should he go? It's about time we start to take a look at the Warrington squad to see which current players Wire need to retain and which they may consider in letting go. Well, rather than us three generals that would just love to put our heads over the trench and fire into contentious enemy territory, what with my slipped disc, Dennis' inflamed ankle, and Sam's dicky bladder, we're all confined to barracks with hot cocoa and tucked up in bed by matron. So it's left to Corporal Daniel from You've Got a Loose Wire to go over the top and get his head blown off.
Hello, it's Daniel from You've Got a Loose Wire. Now, a few weeks ago, a few episodes ago, I had a talk on the podcast about recruitment. And so this week I'm going to talk about retention, because player retention is just as important as player recruitment, really. You've got to think about who you want to keep as well as who you want to bring in. So I've been having to think about our current squad and players who I would want to keep and players who I wouldn't want to keep, and I've divided it up into sections. So players that I definitely want to keep, I think there's no real doubt over the likes of Charlie, Austin, Darrell Clark, Cooper, Philbin, Davis. And then I've put people like Ratchford, Curry, King and Walker in a section just below us, I'd probably like to keep them. I think there's question marks over Ratchford's defence, Curry's fitness, King's passing game and Walker's usage, but other than that I think they're fine players to keep. Now then, the rest of the squad I've got some question marks over. So players who I'd be happy to get rid of realistically. Matty Smith and Lama Tazi, no discussion needed, really. I wouldn't keep Deck Patton even as a backup, because I think Riley Dean is going to be a better backup for him. A better backup than him for Austin and Widdup next season, so I wouldn't keep Patton even in a backup role. For me, Jason Clark and Ben Murdoch-Masilla, they're two of our highest earners, so I gather, and I don't think they contribute enough, really, to the team. Particularly Murdoch-Masilla. I mean, he made 17 metres in 40 minutes at Wigan. 17 metres. For a man of his size, for a second rower, that's horrendous. And Jason Clark, for me, hasn't done enough all year. Chris Hill, I think there's question marks over his leadership and certainly over his discipline. He's still a good prop, but if I were to keep him, I'd want it to be in a backup role. And then again, Tom Lynham, same kind of thing, discipline. You know, he's missed so many games this season, Tom Lynham, and I just wonder if, you know, we signed the lad from Swinton, Ashton, I think it is, and he looks rapid and he can play on the wing. We've got Mamo as well. Mamo's got a new contract. I just wonder if the time might be right to cash in on a few of these players who have discipline issues. Even someone like Jack Hughes, I have question marks over. Does he contribute enough? I'm not so sure. Harvey Levett, talented little player, but is he what we need? We need top players if we are going to win stuff. Look at St Helens, look at their recruitment and their retention. They only keep the players that are really good enough for them. So the likes of Akawala, Mamo, Johnson, I'd be okay to keep them. I wouldn't be too gutted if we lost them either. I think they're all decent backup options, but none of them really are bona fide starters right now. We're yet to see a lot from Luther Burrell. Hopefully we'll see a lot better for him. But I think there's certain players that we could lose without really losing too much from the squad, like the ones I've mentioned. Lynham, Hill, Murdoch-Masilla, Clark, Patton, Tazi, Levette, Smith. Would we really miss that much if we got rid of those and brought in some new players? And also utilise the academy more. We need to bring more players through the academy and into the first team. Look at how other teams in the league have done that. Wigan, St Helens, Leeds, etc. That is the way forward. That is what we need to be doing. Dewis, Dean, we need to be getting these in the team. Lewis, Johnson, we need to be getting these in the team and playing them consistently and not relying on ageing and inconsistent and error-prone players who are on massive wages, which is affecting us because this is a salary cap sport at the end of the day.
Well, it seems that Daniel wants to get rid of the entire squad. Don't write to us, write to Daniel. That's any you can send your death threats through to us, we will pass them directly on to Daniel. That's all I can say. A little bit harsh, Sam, possibly? A bit cutting?
I think maybe he recorded it. To be fair, he recorded it a couple of weeks ago, didn't he? And we didn't get it in last week. And I think maybe he just recorded it straight off the back of a defeat, perhaps. But
passionate.
There's nothing wrong with a bit of feedback like that, though. That's, you know, you need people like that in the media.
Spot
to
on.
Sort of like, you know,
spot on, Daniel. Keep it coming, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Good lad. Good lad.
So, starting with a blank canvas, then, who will we keep for next year?
Okay, well, look, since the recording, Warrington have announced that seven players will depart or already have departed from Wyre for next season. So those seven are five players that we really expected would leave: are Jack Johnson, Ryan Atkins, Matty Smith, Ben Westwood and Bryson Goodwin. The one that we weren't sure about has now been confirmed, and that's Lamatazi. He's on his way as well. But surprisingly, the one that they've also let go is Pat Moran. Dennis, it doesn't seem again that we've given this young kid a fair crack at the whip, really, is it? I mean, we've not seen him at all.
I don't know about young. I mean, you know, when he started off, he was just, I think he was about 23. And then he sort of then got into the first team of Philadelphia. And then he carried on playing and went on to the Cincinnati Reds. And then he got about, his playing stats were 0.235 and he got 18 home runs. But then he went on to sort of pitching and became a coach and actually coached the Cincinnati Reds. And then there was a curious incident. He got to the top of the World Series. And then it's called the Black Sox scandal. And seven players were accused of throwing the series and they actually lost. And they said, well, they would have lost anyway. But funny enough, when he died, he was only 48. And the way they record this is quite funny, actually. They record it as Bright's disease. And I thought, well, who knows what that is? Well, it's apparently affects your kidneys. And then finally, it said at the end, alcohol. So I think that says it all. So yeah, it was a good career, but you know, things move on, don't they?
What are we dealing with, Sam?
Pat Moran from transported. Yeah,
Warrington.
Been transported.
Pat Moran from Warrington, the young lad. Who have you been looking up?
The baseball player from 1901 to 1914. Oh, for God's sake! When did that come through? Have we had a memo?
We've had a memo and Pat Moran has gone. I spoke to Gareth Walker about this, who still believes he's a good prop forward. So I wouldn't be surprised if this kid now doesn't go somewhere else, have an absolutely blinding career and end up playing for Great Britain, Sam. We haven't seen him at all. What are we basing this on?
I think this is what's difficult in this age. I've only seen him twice. I've not seen anything that tells me he's the next Adrian Morley. But similar to players like maybe Harvey Levette is contracted next year, I think. But it wouldn't surprise me if he moves on. But then if he moves on, let's say, to Hull KR, and you see him once every now and again, and he has
on to Hull KR? Why every time when we mention a player that might leave, it's Hull KR?
But it's a step down. And in terms of, it's the bottom half of the Super League, and you could be a decent player in those bottom six, but not quite good enough to be a good player in a team that's aiming for the top spot. That's doesn't mean you're a shite player. You're just a good average player as opposed to a top player.
Mm. Talking about that, do you think Depp Patton's going to Hull KR? Do you think he's been on the phone to Tony Smith?
If they put in the show reel what he did last night in there, he's not even going to Hunslet, is he? I mean, God.
Well, you know what I can't understand is, talking about squads, is that there is players in the squad when they start the season who, you know, let's be honest, some of us have not heard of. Was it Erib Doro? And I don't know if I said that right.
Well pronounced, yeah.
Was it? Oh. Anyway, and what's the point? Because, you know, these guys never really get any exposure. We don't pull them in. That squad of 24 or whatever it is, the number, they should be like part of that rotation during the season. They're the ones that we should be pulling on. Not literally, but, you know.
The thing is, though, Dennis, I think Price is a little bit like the way I choose my underpants, because I've got a good solid drawer of about 25 pairs of underpants. And to be honest, I rotate about four pairs. That's about it, really.
Right.
God. I put the dog in a pair this week, cut the back arse out of it and put his tail through, and that was quite amusing. But, you know, we all have pants in our drawer, but we only ever go to a certain amount of pants, don't we? That's the way
Australian
things work.
Australian TV is that shit that you're now entertaining yourself by dressing your dog. Jesus Christ. I wouldn't like to see the state of these four pairs of underpants, Mr. London. Hey, Jesus.
Quality. Right, come on, let's move on to the poll. Readers' wives, what would Brian Bevan swap? And also a new section, what would Brian Bevan see? Yes, if you see a Warrington player, we want to hear where you've seen him and what he was up to. Okay, we've had our first one in from Mr. Buller. He saw Les Boyd in town. I think he was at the game last night, Sam. He reports that he doesn't look fit to play.
Oh.
No, he hardly looked fit to walk, to be fair. He's probably about 25 stone at the minute. But great player, wasn't he? Great player.
Okay. All right, the poll was, do you want Blake Austin to be picked to play for Great Britain and the Irish Lions? We had four options, yes, no, I couldn't give a shit, or it's all a bit silly. The winner was yes, 47%. I thought that was a little bit surprising. I thought it might be a bit less than that. 17% with no, I couldn't give a shit, 22%, and it's all a bit silly, 13%. Dennis, would you're happy to see Blake Austin play for Great Britain and the Irish Lions?
I voted C. I don't know whether you want to interpret that as yes or no. At the end of the day, I have no personal preference. I just want us to have a team that will just bloody beat the Aussies, I think. All right.
Sam, you're keen to see him play?
Well, first of all, it's New Zealand are playing, Dennis, this year. But
yes, get it right, Dennis.
But I'm building for the future. You know I'm forward thinking. Okay. I don't think of
all
the
right. Yeah, to be fair. To be fair, you big picture stuff, aren't you?
Yeah.
Like always with players like Blake Austin, and particularly in cricket, you see a lot, don't you, where South Africans play for England. You find out in 5 or 10 years' time whether they really consider themselves British. But it doesn't matter. If he was to pull on a GB shirt, he'll give his all. So
excuse me, Sam. GB and Irish Lions shirt.
Okay, fair enough.
Come on, you've just pulled Dennis up for the Kiwis. My goodness.
Could have lost a listener there.
Okay, right, let's move on to what would Brian Bevan swap. I'll just run through a few different ones from all the social platforms. We'll start with an email from the Whitby campsite Bond Steeler. He said, I wish I could swap this section for something different. It's fucking shit, London. So that's a good one.
Oh, welcome to my sort of fan base on Tackle Bash. You get...
We've had a tweet from My Grifter Only Breaks When Pedals Backwards. He says he wants to swap a complete box set on Betamax of the Summer Holiday Mornings Kids television show covering junior motorbike trials called Kickstart, narrated by Peter Purvis. Is he Operation U Tree, or is he in the clear, I think, isn't he? He'd like to swap it for a big track. It was the programmable electric vehicle. He says the toy could be remember up to 16 commands, which could be executed in sequence. He said, having grown up north of the river, he'd always wanted one, but could never afford it. So
my brother had one.
I think we had two, Sam, to be honest.
Oh, for God's sake. It just typifies it, this. All I had is a cardboard box, and there he is with his two big tracks. What are these for, Daddy? Yeah, typical. I've got one. I've had one in from C3PO.
Oh, yes.
He wants to swap his old Streaker for a bag of marbles, probably because he's lost his. Remember Streaker, the thing that you pull apart and the rugby ball goes from back and two to each other?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's a good one, that. Yeah. Patton could do one of those when he's over the line, couldn't he? Could just pull him back into the field.
We've had one on
Snapchat from Pizza the Priest. He writes and says, you're sick, RL Brian B. That's my handle on Snapchat. Let's finster soon. Respect the fam. Love you. WYA. Yeet the pod. No cap. You got that, lads?
Oh, yeah.
Just remind me what TikTok is again.
And finally, we've had one from Cass from Great Budworth. She's been sending me, she's basically been sending me the TikTok challenges of the summer. The lip challenge, Cass, was wicked, and I scored fit on the rotation challenge. FYI, Cass, I'm still to do the clothes swap challenge, but it looks goat, babes. It looks absolutely goat. Okay.
Are we breaking up again?
Goat? No, lads. No,
greatest of all time.
Oh, you see.
How do you do that on your phone, Sam? God, I thought you could only do it like Braille or something.
No hands and everything.
Right, okay. After the shambolic content of Tackle Bags in episode 26, it has been decided, following a tribunal by WWBBSPILGBTSSDP, What Would Brian Bevan Say podcast, independent, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and Sam Sankey disciplinary panel, this section is now on a 3-week probationary period. So come on, Waywell, up your game. It's over to Dennis's Tackle Bags.
Tackle Bags.
My game is always up. Anyway, last week we reviewed protecting the players. We discussed this is a secondary concern of the demands of TV, and player welfare has been neglected on there when we've made a player on a short turnaround. Now, in the spirit of being positive, I went the extra mile, did my research, and looked at all the elements of player protection, which you didn't really respond to. I mentioned additional strapping, pads, skullcaps.
Yeah, no, Dennis, we did respond. It's called gridiron. Sam brought you up on this. It's basically American football, which is what led to the tribunal. And the reasoning is we need to up your game this week. So come on, what have you got for us?
Let me finish. So basically I introduced my Waywell scaffold wadding, a multi-purpose foam tubing system that's integral to the kit, offering impact protection. Although there was some scepticism, as you've just mentioned, I think our discussion concluded that we should at least come up with that the teams in the cup final should be given at least 7 days rest after the final. Before the season starts, common sense, let's put that in the rule book. So we have arrived through the tackle bag section at a very important point. Did we not? You see? So although it may have seemed shambolic and may pointless, we arrived at a very pertinent point and an important safety measure for our game. Anyway, the stats don't reflect that. Only 21% said yes. Mr. Four-Star, what a super idea. Can I order the shorts with the extra gusset padding as I'm not that well endowed? You know, we all need a bit more. No, 49%. Arnie, that kit would look ridiculous. You might as well get Stuart All back and play it's a knockout instead. Not sure we should be getting Stuart All back. What do you think?
No? Delete that bit. Okay. Just let me make a note of when that was. 46 minutes. Okay, yeah, carry on.
Other 30%. Mrs. Potts, why don't you just call it Waywell's Wankwear? Well, I think that really does sum up last week, really. So I think we will drop that one. This week, we're looking at iBench. Now, this is a bit forward thinking, as I always mention. I don't look at the short term. This is the long term. I'm going to revisit NHL. That's the National Hockey League ice hockey for... A few years ago, the NHL did a deal with Apple to integrate iPads on the benches. Now, the iPads were connected to a feed from the TV and provide instantaneous feedback, playback of the game, so that the coaching staff can use it to analyse the game during the actual match. Now, I think we see this every week. We always see that, you know, the coaching staff are looking at the screens anyway. So you might ask, well, what's new in this? Well, the Penguins ice hockey team noticed when they first introduced it, on a number of occasions, players were picking up iPads and using them for themselves. And on one occasion, the Penguins forward, who created a 2-on-1, was thwarted when the defence intercepted the pass, and he didn't know why, and he thought, oh, we should have scored there. And returning to the bench, himself and the wingman actually huddled around the iPad and looked at like the intricacies of that particular play and worked out that actually the wingman was just getting ahead of the puck, etc. So what this is saying is that actually the real sort of real-time analysis of some of the plays in the game are actually making a difference. might only be a small difference, about 1%. But even so, it could be the chance of either scoring a goal or not. And I think if you look at our forwards sometimes, and when we're doing offloads and things like that, those slight intricacies, if when they're sat on the bench, they're actually looking and analysing this, you know, the moves and why they went wrong, this, that and the other. And the app has now grown to look at all the players in the league and some of the stats and so on. So they can instantaneously look at where they're actually going wrong. Because when you're on the pitch, you don't see the bigger picture. You don't get that sort of viewpoint that the coach gets. But you,
Dennis, you know, have you had a coffee this morning?
I have, yes. I've had two, three, and that's pots. So anyway, my idea is that we should have something similar in our game. And I think Shane Moran should invest in this part of the game and technology and introduce it for the Warrington Wolves for the 2020 season. And if you think that's a good idea, then write to us at whatbevin@gmail.com, the Brian Facebook page. I've said it wrong, but stuck in my clack. What do you think, guys? Think that's a good idea?
What are you calling it? iBench?
Yeah, it's called iBench.
Mm-hmm. Good idea. Oh. I went to the garden centre in Hyley a few weeks ago, and I was over in Warrington, and they had an iBents section. Picked up a few geraniums.
You've got to be careful there.
Are you done, Dennis?
I'm very done, yes. I did come up with an idea there where you just said iBench. I thought, have you not done the John Keir rehabilitation for backs? It's like, you know, you've got to bend your backs video. Have you not seen that?
See, I'll have a look at that when we finish this. I'll go straight onto that on my Saturday evening and look at John Keir videos.
Excellent. That was a fun.
Right. Sam, just wake up again. Are you there, mate? You're still with us?
Yeah. I'm just thinking this is a way forward for the Ginger Ninja on Sky to get himself sat on the bench and show the players where the game breaker was.
Ginger who? Ginger Minja.
That's very sort of 8, isn't it?
Ninja.
Oh, Ninja. Sorry. Right. Fair enough. Okay. All right, let's look at the league table. Saints are out on top on 750 points with a 7,586 goal difference. Second is Wigan on 34. Wyre then on 32, Salford 32, Castleford on 30, Hull on 30. And then we've got two teams that have got nothing to play for in Catalans and Leeds on 26 and 22. And then down at the bottom, we've got Wakefield on 20, Huddersfield on 20, Hull KR on 20, and London, having won last night, are now on 18. It's going to be an interesting last weekend.
They're on 20 as well, mate.
Oh, sorry, they're on 20 as well, are they? Okay, all right. So we've got four on the bottom on 20. Interesting weekend coming up. We've got Hull versus Saints. I guess who's going to win that one? Do we think Saints are just going to roll over and have a week off, or do you think they'll beat Hull? Hull are shit at the moment, aren't they?
Makes you wonder whether they've not learnt anything about resting players before, you know, the business end of games, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, okay. So then the other one is Wigan versus Castleford. Do we think Castleford can go to Wigan and win?
Yes, they can. Whether they will is another matter, but yes, they can. Castleford need things to go right for them, don't they? But if they get a bit of, if they stay in the game to half time, they can score tries from anywhere. They get a bit of momentum.
I think that ranking's looking good for Castleford. Yeah. He's making a difference for them when I watched him the other day.
Okay. All right. I'll leave our game out with Leeds. Salford versus Hull KR. Can't see Hull KR going to Salford and winning, can we? Salford are on a roll. They're going to win again this week, aren't they?
Tony Smith magic.
Well, as I pointed out last night on YRFM, I sent Richard Shawright a text, and he mentioned this on YRFM, is that if Salford beat Hull KR, all Wakefield and London need to do is agree on a 0-0 draw. Play out Golden Point, 0-0, and they're both safe.
It might be more realistic, Rob, to go 18 all as per your predictions 97 times this season.
If they're all playing together, how would they do that? They're all playing at the same time. I suppose if they have some technology like I've just mentioned. Then,
what's going on? Okay. You certainly wouldn't get that technology on Sam's phone, would you?
Certainly not, no. I think the lucky ones here potentially are Huddersfield, that they're playing Catalan at home, because Catalan look a bag of shit. They look like they've gone on their holidays. Yeah. But if they were having to travel to the south of France and a bit of sun on the back, Catalan could put 40 or 50 points on them. And that points difference, Huddersfield minus 207 and Hull KR minus 219, could be a difference.
All right, well, come on, then all give us a prediction. Who's going down? I'll start with you, Dennis. Who do you think's going down?
I still think London will probably go down. Just really that, you know, I think the other teams will just always find that little bit in desperation. Don't forget, to last week, it's almost like a Challenge Cup day for these teams, isn't it? You know, anyone going to beat anyone at the end of the day if they're desperate.
You go in there as well, Sam? You think London are destined to go down?
I hope not. And I know other people will think, well, they've only got 2,000 crowd and all that. Best away day I've had this year was London.
Oh, God, it's only the away day.
They've done
so south of the river, isn't it?
Just a minute.
Is that one of those grounds you go back in the middle of this? Oh, that's such a lovely day.
We can stay at the Savoy. With the players they've got, they've played above themselves and 10 wins. I'm going for London to beat Wakefield, and I'm going to say Huddersfield will go down.
Matron. Okay, all right. Well, it's Leeds away.
Jet plane headed up to the sky. Spread wings and the clouds getting high.
With the race for the top five hotting up, the celebration of winning the cup must be over. Leeds are safe after their win in London the other week, all but confirming that. Teams aren't going to be pushovers, even the ones that have nothing to play for. And Headingley is a very tough place to go with the Wires' hopes of a playoff hanging in the balance. Our boys will need to be on the top of their game to rip through the Rhinos. Some bodies back who are less hungover from our Wembley heroics, the likes of Chris Hill, Mike Cooper, Deck Patton, Toby King and Josh Charnley, are back in the side. This was always going to give us a boost. It's all about results now. Performances can be as rusty and as below par as possible, but a win at this time in the season is all that matters. We'll need the unbelievable Warrington faithful to be loud and proud from now until the end of the season. But that's my fault. Oh. Gross half a billy on the divide tour. Oh. Yes, I ain't kidding, what would I lie for? Oh. But now I'm back on the track with Big Michael. Oh. He said, "Teddy, never get off your high horse and never let him take your crown."
Well, there's Callum's view, Dennis. You got any opinion on Callum's view?
Well, what are you trying to say? Not really. Was there any content? It sounded like Trump.
It's a bit Big Brothery, isn't it? It's a bit Big Brothery these days with Callum.
Yeah.
Sort of the way comes in. It's sort of, yeah. Mm, yeah. Anyway, each to their own. Each to their own. Yes, it's time for the trip to Leeds. Headingley, always close to my heart, having spent the misspent youth drinking in the Royal Oak and the Skyrack, followed by the Polybop, prior to waking up in the bed at Carnegie Halls of residence with the women's 60-metre British sprint champion. Dennis, do you read this one as Warrington getting a quick leg over, followed by a short dash?
A quick egg over, a leg over. Well, I think it's taking your terminology, I think a bit of resilience is required. That of a 1,500-metre effort is required. So getting into a slow rhythm at a nice pace is required before a final pump of the legs, before... Sorry.
Fair enough. Sam, you're known for your half semi-marathon man. Do you think Wolves have the stamina to deliver the winning message?
Yes, I think you do. And actually, 80 minutes plus the 10 minutes at half-time is about my time for a half-marathon. I think they will. I think last night, on the assumption we've got no injuries, the team is back together, and I think we'll see a similar score to what Salford did last night.
Really?
I think we'll win. Yeah, I think we'll win.
Because Leeds have gone on their holidays?
No, just because we're a better team. We've got better players.
Do you think Agar's been told, though, he's got to win that game to get his contract next year?
Agar's not staying next year, is he? Seinfeld's been very quiet recently. He's been under the radar, hasn't he? Nah, they've got someone coming in for sure, I reckon. Yeah. He's not going to stay in that. It'll be an interesting game of squash this week, won't it, between Tony and Dickie?
Yeah.
Hey? They'll both be a little bit anxious where their teams are.
Do you think we'll win, Rob?
I still question just how good we're playing at the moment. You know, we should have put Wakefield to bed relatively easily last night, and we you know, we made a meal of it, didn't we, again? But we I do think possibly that Leeds will think, well, we've got nothing to play for. They'll have a few drinks midweek. So, yeah, I think we will win. I don't think it'll make any difference to where we finish in the league, because I think Wigan will win. So I'll go Leeds 14, Warrington 18. Still don't think we're that many points in us. What are you reckoning, Dennis?
I think something similar. I think Leeds might get about 16, and then I think we'll just touch 22.
Mm. Sam?
Yeah, as I said, I think it'd be identical to last night. So last night was Leeds 12, Salford 20. So same again next week. But Warrington.
So you're going Leeds. What Leeds?
12.
Salford 20. Okay, I'll write that down. Leeds 12, Salford 20. Okay, that's it. Keep your messages coming in to me at TikTok, Vivo or Snapchat. Dennis can be reached by letter, preferably on Papyrus, and Sam will continue his t-shirt deliveries, and he's now extended his delivery area to the Midlands, the Northeast and the Irish border backstop. We may not quite be the Holy Trinity, but more three of a kind. Okay, this is going to test your memory. Yes, he's had his moment in the sun and his fame has faded into complete obscurity. It's at that showbiz. My very own David the Sam Sankey Copperfield.
Wasn't he a magician?
Fucking hell. And he's not the biggest fan of What Would Brian Bevan Swap, because coming from north of the river, he's Tiswas through and through. It's a key from Lenny Dennis Henry.
Katanga, Pasillo.
My name's Rob London, or is it Tracy Ullman? And if I am Tracy, I'm off to touch myself up. I should really stop taking these drugs. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Ah, well done. Nothing stuck in your clack.
I tell you what, I've got an ice pack on me crack, and I think it's gone round to me balls. Bloody pair of Maltesers.
Jesus. Hey, did you mention Maltesers?